Ken, I had kidney cancer. A friend of mine from high school, Dan, randomly visited here in 2015, August of 2015. And I say it was random. We both know that was not the case. And I remembered that he had had cancer, and because of that, he lost part of his lung, but I didn't remember the original cancer that he had. It just turned out that that random visit was just a few weeks after we found out Diane had cancer. And so it was just right back there where we had that conversation. And he said the doctor that saved his life was the doctor that started the Goshen Center for Cancer Care. And so after surgery, I contacted Dan and told him, you know, what they found out. And so he said, let me text the doctor. And so he texted that doctor, who's now down in Indianapolis, and he said, hey, he developed this treatment. He said, I don't do that anymore. My partner, Dr. Ted Logan, does. And here's the phone number to call his nurse. And so the doctor texted me back, and he connected me with Dr. Ted Logan, and Dr. Ted Logan was Diane's oncologist. In 1980, if you remember back that far, or can, there was the middle of the gas crisis, and that had a huge impact on the RV industry, and because I worked in that industry, I was going from job to job. Jobs were hard to get, and I had a temporary job in July of that year, and it was just about running out, and I got a phone call, and it was a guy named Don Schaefer. And Don Schaefer worked for a guy named Maynard Hahn, and they did barn construction, and there was a small tornado that hit around the Wakarusa-Wyatt area, and there was a lot of barns that needed to be repaired, and I got a job working in barn construction. How did I get that? Through Don Schaefer's connection, I got that job. What are we talking about? We're talking about connections. As you look back in your life, there are times when you had connections. And you say, oh, I remember when I got this job because of that connection. I remember this connection here helped me. Maybe you found a spouse through a connection. And we have connections. And let me ask you a question. What connections do you need right now? What connections would you like in your life right now? You say, boy, if I was had a way that I was connected to this person. Psst. I've got a connection I want to tell you about. It's really beneficial to your life. Are you interested? Okay. Here's his resume. Right here, it's in Colossians 1:15-20. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Scientists who study the atom and molecules and all that stuff and quarks, they haven't been able to figure out how everything holds together. He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, So he is the first in everything, for God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And that passage answers our first question this morning. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Well, who is he? He is Creator God. And you may have some pause when I say that and go, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Didn't God the Father that we looked at last week, isn't he the Creator? Uh-huh. Well, how can Jesus do that? Because they're both God. Jesus is God. And there are many aspects to who Jesus is that are mentioned in his resume here in Colossians chapter 1. But the one we're looking at is that Jesus was Creator God. Jesus was God. He walked this earth as a human being and went through experiences we go through. He was tempted in every way that we were tempted. I remember one time, I don't know what I was going through. But I said, have you ever said stupid things? Have you ever said stupid things to God? And somebody was saying something about me, and I forget exactly what the situation was. And I said, but God, you just don't know what it's like. And no sooner did those words get out of my mouth, and it's like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. Yes, you do. But you know, here's the beautiful thing. In that moment, there was a connection between God and I. Because it's like, oh, you do know that. You do know what it's like. You've experienced that. Who is Jesus? He is Creator God. And you may have some difficulty believing that. You know what? That's okay. He had 12 guys that were with him 24/7 for 3 years, and it took them a while to come to that point too. So it's okay if it takes you a while to get to that point. Keep seeking. Because over and over in Scripture says, if you seek God, you will find me. Seek him. Keep seeking him and keep growing. Jesus is Creator God. So let's ask the next question. What is Jesus? How would Jesus define himself? John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. No. We don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? I love Thomas's response. That's honesty. Listen, do you want to grow? You know how you grow? You admit your ignorance. Ignorance doesn't mean you're stupid. It literally means don't know. I just don't know. And if you don't know something, admit that you don't know it. And that's exactly what Thomas did. No, we don't know where you're going. We don't know. So what does Jesus say? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know what he's like. So who is Jesus? He's the way. He's the way. He's the connection between us and God. Jesus connects us, connects us to the Father. Really? Can we be sure? Yeah, we can be sure, because the Apostle Paul, in the same chapter that we were looking at earlier, in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 21, this is what Paul wrote later. Notice what he says. This includes you who were once far away. You were far away from God. You who are his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he brought you into his presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single what? Without a single what? You don't believe that, do you? As you looked at yourself in the mirror this morning, did you say, here I am without a single fault? None of you said that. You're going, man, what is that? Got this mark right here, and how do I get those lines off of my face, and what happened to all my hair? Right? We don't look at ourselves in front of the mirror. We have fault after fault after fault after fault, especially after we talk to people. Then our faults really keep coming out, right? Ugh. How many of you have walked away from a conversation and said, oh, I can't believe I said that? I'm such an idiot. But notice that last sentence. As you stand before him without a single fault because of what Jesus did. Jesus is the way. We were once far away from God, and Jesus, through Jesus, we've been brought near. We were far, feel like Elmo on Sesame Street. Far? Near. We were far, and now we're near. How? How can we be without a single fault? Because of who I am? No, because of what Jesus did. He's our connection. He connected us to God the Father. He's our connection. He's the way. So why did Jesus come to earth? Mark 10:42. So Jesus called them together and said, you know how the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first among you must be the slave to everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Why did Jesus come to earth? He came to serve. By dying for our sins. He came to serve. Not to be the boss, although that day is coming. He served. He met the needs of people by healing them, by feeding them. And Creator God, get this, got down on his knees and washed the dirty feet of his disciples. What? He served. He came to serve. And then it goes on. Matthew 9:13. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Mark 2:17. When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Duh, right? Hey, doc, I need an appointment. Are you feeling bad? No, I'm feeling great. I just wanted to call you. That never happens. We always call when we're sick. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Luke 19, 9 and 10, Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today for this man. It's the story of Zacchaeus. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are lost. Why did Jesus come to earth? To seek sinners. This is bad news if you think you're good enough on your own. But this is really good news if you know, if you realize that you're a sinner. Sinners at that time were ignored and put down by the religious establishment, but Jesus focused on them. He focused on them. Isn't that kind of weird? Because I don't know if you've ever thought about having your own universe. But if you create a universe and you're like, this is my universe, it's kind of like a used car. And somebody says, well, what's wrong with it? And you, God says, well, it's full of sinners. I mean, you wouldn't say, well, it's rusting out, you know, the valves need to be redone, it burns a lot of oil. You wouldn't say that. And God is, no, look, it's my world I made, it's all messed up. These people are doing the exact opposite of what I've told them to do. But I'm going in there to seek them, to seek the people that are messing everything up. So how did he do that? John 12, 44. Jesus shouted to the crowds, if you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. Again, Jesus and God the Father, the same, only different. But they're the same. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Why did Jesus come to earth? To be the light. He came here to be the light. I find it interesting, in 1 John 1:5, it says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. How do you describe God? He's light. He's light. I mean, what do you call it when you get some new spiritual truth and you finally get it? They say you have been what? Enlightened. You have light in you. Jesus came to be light. To be light. That's why Jesus came to earth. Now, let me ask you a question. That's why Jesus came. So why are we here? Let me see. Could it be that we're here to serve? Just a thought. Could it be that we're here to seek sinners? Could it be that we're here to be the light? That would mean that we're doing what Jesus would do. You remember what we just read earlier? Colossians 1:18. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. We are the body of Christ. And so as the body of Christ, we would do the things that Jesus did. Why did Jesus come? To do those three things. That's why we are here. If you have a pulse, and you may want to check, make sure you have one, If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. There's a reason for you being here. And that's why we're here, to do that. We're all different, and we'll do that in different ways. Bottom line, Jesus connected us to the Father so that we can be His light to a dark world. Darkness is not the fault of those in the world. Darkness is the fault of the light. What would it look like if we turned off all the lights? Next slide, Denny. Don't go running. It's completely dark. Just one light. Does it make a difference? Can you see this light? But it's just one light, and there's so many of us. How can you see one light? This is you. Yeah. Hey, do that. Good idea, Terry. Turn on your phones. Turn on your flashlights on your phones. We're at a concert. Yes. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? And this is what we're supposed to do. We come together as the body of Christ. Now, Patrick, you can turn the lights on again. We come together. Man, is that Debbie Boone? That sang that song, "You Light Up My Life"? If you're old as me, you remember that song. That's what we do to each other. We gather together, and we come together, and we light each other up, and we go out into a dark world, and we light things up. And during the week, your light gets a little dimmer and dimmer, and we come back together again. We light it back up again and go back out. That's what we do. That's the rhythm to our lives. And we make a difference in this world by lighting up the world. Martin Luther King Jr. was right when he said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And that's what we're called to do. To be light. To drive out darkness. I don't need to tell you that we live in a dark world. Each one of us could give a whole list of ways that we could tell, oh, this is a dark world. That's not the world's fault. It's the fault of light. We need to be light. We need to shine. Would you stand with me? You see, when we get connected to the light, we become what? A light. We become a light. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you would help us. I ask you that you would help us. I beg you that you would help us to shine our lights because we're connected to you. That you would help us to shine and to serve like you did, Jesus. That you would help us to shine because we're a part of your body. That we would shine like you did. Lord, we can't do that in and of ourselves. We're not good enough, bright enough, sharp enough. But in your presence, we are without fault. Help us to shine like stars in the universe. That when things are darkest, it's when we shine, it's when we twinkle. Help us to make a difference in this world. and reflect the glory, reflect the praise back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.